a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Paulie G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
We are a week away from the 2025 NFL Draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The Houston Texans hold the 25th pick of the first round, and we're wondering what they're going to do. Most people believe they should draft an offensive lineman, and many experts believe they will draft an offensive lineman. Yesterday, we played a clip from Ryan Russillo's podcast. He had two NFL draft experts on, Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay. Those two believe that the Texans are looking at Tyler Booker out of Arizona and an offensive lineman that we'll discuss in a moment, Kelvin Banks from Texas. These are the two guys the Texans are eyeing. We'll see if they end up picking one of those guys. We'll also react to some of what Nick Caserio had to say about the draft in just a moment. But before we dive into the tackles the Texans theoretically could be targeting, I did think that this question, of all the questions asked at Nick Caserio's 38-minute press conference yesterday, was the best one. I believe Adam Wexler asked the question, so shout out to him. This is the big question to ask Nick Caserio when it comes to where he has not been great. Because really, I mean, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Derek Stingley, Nico Collins, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, Jalen Petrie. He's done a pretty good job in the draft. He hasn't been perfect, but I mean, the Texans have some really good young talent, and he's the reason that it's here. But he's struggled when it comes to selecting offensive linemen, as we saw with Kenyon Green. And this has been an issue for the Texans for quite some time, drafting offensive linemen. You know, in the Bill O'Brien era, there were some similar issues. Nick Caserio was asked by Wexler about perhaps reevaluating how they evaluate offensive linemen.
Nick, as you normally do when you open up these press conferences, you mentioned some of the guys that are in your group, Lip, Zeke, and Brad. You guys have been together the last couple of years doing this. Last three drafts, you drafted six offensive linemen, three in the first two rounds. Do you think internally there needs to be a reevaluation of how you evaluate that specific position?
I mean, we look at everything on a constant basis. So, again, it's case by case. I mean, a lot of faith and confidence. I mean, I'd say the entire building, you know, starting with D'Amico and the coaching staff, have a lot of confidence in that group. So, again, look at everything, and we'll try to make decisions that, you know, we think make sense for your organization. They're not all going to work. I mean, I've said this before. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said it, but it's a lot. You can ask Omar. I mean, a draft's 50-50. I mean, that's what it is. So some are going to work. Some aren't going to work. I mean, that's just the way it goes. So we're no different than any other team. So if there's something that we can improve and tweak and adjust, we'll look at it. So it's never one particular thing and never one factor, but we're always open-minded and always trying to find, you know, ways to make things better.
Nick Caserio gives long answers. And sometimes he gives you nuggets to work with. The problem is the answers are generally so long. And let's be honest, today with our phones, we all tend to zone out a little bit, no? Sometimes we just lose our train of thought. I thought in answering that question, Caserio was a little annoyed, but I don't think the annoyance was necessarily directed at Adam asking the question. I think it's partly due to the fact, like, yeah, he knows that this is an issue. But he is right with one of the things that he said there. It is really a 50-50 proposition when it comes to the NFL draft, which is why I really do not take the draft that seriously and our conversations about the draft that seriously, which is why when we talk about theoretical draft prospects for the Houston Texans, what we do is we look at Lance Zierlein's write-ups on these prospects for NFL.com and all of the unintentionally erotic language he uses to describe those players to determine who we like and who we don't like for the 2025 NFL draft. Hit it!
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on C.J. Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hip.
Ooh, they fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
Yes. Already on the big board at guard, Donovan Jackson from Ohio State, Tyler Booker from Alabama, Tate Ratledge and his sweet mullet from Georgia, Jonah Savainea, a Samoan from Arizona, Joe Huber, a Wisconsin guard. Then at wide receiver, we put four on the board yesterday. Maybe there's a wide receiver available at the back of round one. We're hoping it's Travis Hunter, that there's some gas mask bong video that gets released tomorrow. Ted Arroyo, McMillian, and Jack Beck from Arizona and TCU, respectively, are the two that we enjoyed the most. Also, Jalen Royals from Utah State. So those are our receivers. Now it's time to look at tackle. Because Nick Caserio has said this in the past, I'm looking to have four tackles. Four tackles I can rely on. You just traded one of them in Laremy Tunsil. Cam Robinson, not exactly coming off the best season with the Minnesota Vikings and the Jacksonville Jaguars before that. Blake Fisher, second-round pick. Titus Howard, I don't even know if he's a tackle anymore. They're going to be looking at tackles in the draft, Sean.
Yeah, I was going to say, he said he wants four tackles he can rely on. I can squint and see one. With that being Titus Howard at right tackle, but then that opens up, you know, it's a little bit of whack-a-mole with
exactly
the issues. But, yeah, I think tackle is definitely something that they should be, at the very least, looking at high in the draft.
So let's start looking at tackles and Lance Zierlein's unintentionally erotic lingo to describe them with the guy who he has as his top-graded tackle, Armand Membu from Missouri. Doubt he falls all the way to the Texans at 25. He's got good pop on contact. He's still growing into his frame, but his game boasts unusual maturity. Oh.
So he's a grower. Got it.
He's a grower, and on top of that, like, he's skilled. Like, this ain't his first rodeo, you know? Sometimes it's awkward at first. It takes a little bit of time to figure out what you're doing. He sifts through moving bodies. Oof. Here's the problem. I don't think the ladies will like this. Far below height standards. That's unfortunate. And he's not a deep bender. But he doesn't need to be because he's far below the height standard.
Yeah, less he has to bend.
I think we got to put Membu on. It just feels like this guy knows what he's doing out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's half the battle in the areas.
And sometimes you do have to take the chance on the 5'10 guy on the app.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, or the 5'11 and a half guy who says he's 6 feet tall.
On your driver's license.
It does say 6 feet tall on my driver's license. So, honestly, that does feel very official. From the 281. Paul, I think you would call him a grower and a shower. Well, I'd actually have to see it first. Will Campbell, LSU. He can clear out B gaps. Whoa.
Whoa.
Has short arms, but finishes with good aggression level.
Okay. Oh.
Does clear out the B gaps. It's not a, you know, generally I'm more of an A-gap guy, but Will Campbell, short arms, I think I'm out.
Yeah, no.
I'm okay with below height standards, but short arms, what were you talking about, a T-Rex arm? Next thing you know, Gary's going to call it, talking about T-Rex arm quarterbacks. I'm out. How about you?
Out.
Okay.
Out on Will Campbell.
Uh-oh, Texas guy's up next, Sean. Kelvin Banks Jr. from Texas, third-ranked grade-wise per Lance Zierlein on NFL.com, he must become more proactive in attacking power rushers and long-limbed attackers. Okay, so not into the long-limbed types. I'm a long-limbed. That's my type, if you will. Dips and drives hips into the opponent. Okay. But he lacks desired thickness in his limbs. Is the Texas guy, Sean?
Yeah.
Well, I'm out.
And yeah, in fairness, given, you know, in this exercise, I don't like what I heard.
I don't either.
I like watching him play, but I haven't liked what I heard.
Yeah, it doesn't sound special. Up next, so he's off. Josh Simmons, Ohio State, who had a season-ending knee injury last year. Adequate size and length, gives good effort to sustain and finish. Is that not every man? Just about.
Good effort.
Like you're, this is the average human man.
I'm efforting to finish.
And to sustain as
and
well.
And to sustain.
I mean, generally we do the former rather than the latter, but adequate size and length. I'm willing to draft him if he slides. I'm willing to draft him if he's like, if he falls to the fifth, sixth round or something like that, fine. But yeah, I don't want another John Mechie in the second round just looking at it from the injury that he had last year. You know, you tried that once, you tried to get cute, didn't work out.
Yeah, the injury stuff is tough. I think it's tougher in football than in any other sport, taking a chance on an injured guy just because you don't know they're going to respond.
Continuing to analyze tackle prospects for the Houston Texans in the draft, entirely using Lance Zierlein's unintentionally erotic lingo at NFL.com, family website. Josh Connerly Jr. is a tackle from Oregon. He strains at the point of attack. Okay. Throws a sudden punch with good pop. Squeezes the B gap. There's a lot of B gappers out here. How weird. Hey, to each their own. The tackles aren't doing it for me right now.
No.
I think I'm out on this one too, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than some of the ones that we've heard, but I'm still not blown away.
Me neither. All right, more prospects. Gray Zabel from North Dakota State. I'm almost out by default just because of North Dakota State.
Oh.
Yeah, Gray. And well,
his first name's Gray.
Yeah. Does he have 50 shades in him? Hey, makes a point to get body on body. All right.
Okay.
His short arms. Short arms create difficulties in sustaining blocks. Hands get wide, slide off the target. Yeah, this guy seems messy. He's messy.
I was ready. I wanted to give Gray. I didn't want to just look at his name Gray and see if he's from North Dakota State and throw him in the trash. But what I've heard isn't inspiring.
I'm not feeling it either. Anthony Belton is up next from North Carolina State. Enormous tackle with good power and long arms. His drive power widens gaps. Oh,
which you know what? B gap. Or?
This guy's big. He's a big guy. He's a project guy. I think I'm in on Anthony Belton.
Okay. Yeah, I like the tools. You know what? Maybe I can fix them.
Just needs a little bit of learning, a little maturity.
Yeah.
Ozzie Trapelo, Boston College. Ooh, a Bill O'Brien guy.
Great name.
That asterisk because it's a Bill O'Brien guy. I don't know.
Not Texans worthy.
Has a good feel for pocket depth with an ability to ride rushers over the top. Whoa.
Okay.
Able to uncoil his lower half and access a firm anchor. Whoa! Lance. Above average grip strength allows for longer stickiness.
I'm kind of in.
I'm liking this. Uses reach and feel hands more often than a forceful punch. All right. He's a sensitive type. Gets torqued off balance by stockier opponents with strong hips. Okay. So not thick is not his type, if you will.
Yeah. But hey, listen, there's a reason this guy's like the sixth one we've read.
And when you're a tackle as well, I mean, you're not dealing with thick as often as you're dealing with generally spry. So I think I'm in. I think I'm in on Ozzie Trapelo.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Trapelo.
I'm probably pronouncing his name incorrectly. Ozzie's a cool name, too. Here's a really cool name from Minnesota as we continue to gauge tackle prospects for the Texans entirely based on the unintentionally erotic language of Lance Zierlein. Aronte Ursary.
Whoa. That is a good name.
That is cool. Not a natural bender, but a massive humanity. Broad chest, long arms, good initial slide quickness and depth gain. Whoa.
Okay.
Consistent base width and body control makes well-timed movements. In.
Yeah.
This guy's good.
I'm good.
And one last one. Charles Grant from William & Mary. Elite length. Utilizes a bag of tricks.
Okay.
This is perhaps where he wins. Tree branch arm length with legitimate 7-foot wingspan.
Wow.
Uncoils hips to bolster leverage and strength at the point. All right. I think there's some tackle prospects that the Texans could theoretically find at the back of the draft.
I was going to say, these guys, I mean, just judging by their placement on this list, seem like they'll be available. Probably not on Thursday. there, or they'll be available on Thursday, but probably not someone you want to draft on Thursday.
No.
But, yeah.
Saturday?
I'm good with the last two or three we're in on. So
these guys are all looking like Friday and Saturday guys. So at tackle for the Texans, we're putting on Armand Membu from Missouri, Josh Simmons from Ohio State, though that's a pick that you make later because he's dealing with the season-ending knee injury. Ozzy Trapillo from Boston College, Anthony Belton from NC State, Aronte Ursary from Minnesota, and Charles Grant from William & Mary. They have made it to our Texans big board.
Congratulations, guys.
Congratulations. It's a prestigious honor. And thank you, Lance Erline, for whatever goes on in your head. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
It's me, only Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. I see those dry elbows, baby. But don't worry, get moisturized right in the shower. So hydrated, you can skip the lotion after.
Don't want to see it dry no more. Get so moisturized with Body Wash.
Look at you now, no more dry skin. Your skin gets the moisture it craves with.
Only Indulgent Moisture Body Wash.
Have you heard? Kohl's has two exclusive new home brands, Mirianna and Mingle & Co., from luxe favorites that are all about turning your space into a sanctuary to fun mix-and-match dining essentials. There's so much to discover, and trust me, you're going to love everything. Plus, you can get an extra 15% off throughout the store and earn Kohl's cash. So hurry to Kohl's today and bring it home for less. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends April 19th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Cast your line and relax at TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. Your fishing getaway awaits.
You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It is Rockets Red Day. Are you on the Houston Rockets bandwagon? You should be. We have determined no Ted Cruz. We have determined no Greg Abbott. But John Whitmire, who did say that today is Rockets Red Day, and you should be wearing red wherever you are in town, he is on the bandwagon. That is the one politician that we are allowing on. I think we'd think about it with Lena Hidalgo, but I don't know. I mean, the stress of the NBA playoffs could lead to her taking a leave of mental health. So we don't want that to happen. We don't want that. Who else is on the bandwagon? We have a couple of sports writers, liberal media members, right? Danny Chow, who wrote that amazing piece about Amen Thompson on The Ringer. We got Tim Legler, who believes that the defense that the Rockets put on Steph Curry is legit. We got John Hollinger, who thinks that Amen Thompson's the defensive player of the year. And we have Bobby Marks, who was the only person at ESPN.com who picked the Rockets to beat the Warriors. So there you go. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in if you have any other rules for bandwagon joining. We said that Spurs fans can join, but they can never come back. We get it. Like, hey, Greg Popovich, it's not going to be him probably much longer. You just have to denounce David Robinson's MVP victory over Hakeem Olajuwon. And if you are a Mavericks fan or from the area of Dallas, you're also welcome aboard. But you must renounce any Jose Altuve slander that you've had in the past. You perhaps need to flagellate yourself several times before we will allow you. We need to see the lashes. We need to see the lashes.
It's like Cersei walking through the city in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Shame.
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 Shame. Shame. There is some sad news in college football. This was announced earlier today. Lee Corso, Sunshine Scooter, will retire from ESPN's College Game Day, ending a career with the show that began in 1987. It's been tough watching Lee Corso on the show the last couple of years. He's clearly lost his fastball. He's going to be 90, though, so you get it. He's a guy who I think suffered a stroke not too long ago. The thing that he started that really has made college game day, is something he started in October of 1995, the headgear segment, which is at the very end where they're making picks, and he picks the winner of the game that's being played at the college game day location. So we'll have a mascot helmet usually under the table. He puts it up, he puts it on. He's dressed up as a leprechaun, the Stanford tree, James Madison, Ben Franklin. He held a live baby alligator in his hands. It's going to suck. I would say among broadcasters that you love for entertainment, this guy's on the Mount Rushmore in sports. Charles Barkley's number one. No denying that. Number two, Lee Corso, an ex-coach, not well known for his coaching days, but when he joined this show, and if you played that college football video game back in the day and you played it as much as I did, like that guy for me, one of the more goofy and fun people that we have seen in sports broadcasting. I was bummed to see this. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
He will at least have one last hurrah. Hopefully he makes it there because he is 90 years old. You never know. But, man, it's a bummer.
Yeah, it's definitely a bummer. It's like very clearly like, oh, the show will change now. Like it just can't be the same show that it was, even with the, you know, last however long, you know, last 5-10 years
with of Pat Lee McAfee. Corso.
Well, just in the last like 10 years of Lee Corso, like he was in a more diminished role,
not just
like as he aged, but he was just literally on the show less. Less segments. He couldn't do it. So, I mean, I agree with you. He's on the mount. It's like him.
I'm trying to think of the other two.
Barkley, Dick Vitale.
Ooh, that's a good one. Oh, you says, oh, I mean,
yeah.
He's not for everyone. He's not my favorite, but yes, for sure.
He was like the voice of college basketball. More
oh, yeah, for a while. No, definitely.
When college basketball mattered, like a lot more than it matters now.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'm trying to think.
There's probably an NFL one.
Does football have one? I don't
Chris
know.
Chris Berman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably it. Berman, Lee Corso.
Berman,
Charles
Corso,
Barkley.
Barkley.
And you just said him, Dick Vitale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good one. I think we put together a pretty good Mount Rushmore. If there's something missing, you can join in. Most Interactive
Who
Sports
Show. Who
we're
disrespecting by not putting on there.
713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Was it Houston where he said, bleep it?
Yes.
On live TV.
Yeah, that was with, I believe, Carl Lewis
Hell
as the
yeah.
guest picker. Where I think it was an SMU fake out. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he really did specialize in making viral moments before, like, viral moments were a thing. Where he would have a little bit to do where he would, you know, either fake out, he would play to the crowd or play against the crowd and then get him back on his side. I mean, he was really, he kind of invented what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that just wasn't a thing anyone else did before, and Lee Corso did.
Sports broadcaster, Mount Rushmore, guys that you love because they were fun. Terrible job by us, and showing our age a little bit here. It has been a while. John Madden.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Madden.
Sorry, Dick Vitale.
Yeah, Dick's out. Madden's in.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, the old SportsCenter guys. So, like, Stu Scott or... Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen, those kind of, but that's more of like an ensemble-y kind of thing.
Was Vitale ever a coach?
Yes, okay. Way back in the day.
So I love Berman, but Berman did not play and Berman did not coach. So if we're talking about sports broadcasters who were actually in their respective field, but we love for being fun broadcasters, then we probably love them for being athletes. I think we've gotten there with Charles Barkley, which is crazy because he was one of the best NBA players ever.
Yeah, he was an MVP.
Yeah, he was an incredible player. But we're there with Charles Barkley, Lee Corso, John Madden, and Dick Vitale. I think that's it.
Or Berman. Berman or Vitale.
But I think Berman. I think Berman.
Because
he's not.
A non,
yeah, because he didn't coach. He didn't play. I think you got to take
Berman. It's a good
Berman
way
out.
Of limiting it.
Right, exactly.
I think I feel good about that one.
Fun broadcasters. We're Jeff Van Gundy, a nominee from Ryan Lost in Texas.
True, but
if we want to go like 21st century, yes.
We could do that theoretically. I mean, I think you'd have to expand the Mount Rushmore. The problem is, for basketball, for the NBA, it is Charles Barkley. For football, it was John Madden. For college basketball, it was Dick Vitale. And for college football, I think that one's definitely up in the air. But like Lee Corso, honestly, just because maybe the last couple of years, it hasn't been the Lee Corso that we remember. But definitely Lee Corso, yeah. I think, for college football. My favorite Lee Corso memory is being on the sideline of a Texas A&M Florida game. This was Johnny Manziel's first game. Honestly, probably the coolest experience I've ever had in the stadium. It was the first SEC game to stand on the field at Kyle Field and to see all the fans. I mean, obviously I give the Aggies a little bit of crap, given that it's a cult. But that is such a cool place to watch a sporting event. And on the sideline, I'm standing next to John Cassio, who used to work over at Gal Media back in the day, and Chris Fowler, who could not have been nicer. Like, really, one of the more cool, down-to-earth, humble people. We talked for like 15 minutes that I've met in sports media. But we also saw on the sideline, standing at the 20-yard line, in a place where he's definitely not allowed to stand, wearing a crisp pair of designer jeans with his hands on his knees as if he was actually coaching the game. Watching Lee Corso watch football made me laugh so hard. The guy clearly loved the game. And I'm glad that hopefully, again, knock on wood, he'll be able to retire on his own terms when he has his final broadcast with ESPN. I think it's going to be on August 30th, just a couple of days after his 90th birthday. It's been so fun. Like he's a core part of my life, both from the college football video game and from watching College Game Day growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, kind of obvious considering he's been doing College Game Day for as long as we've been alive, but just cannot imagine college football without Lee Corso in like certain ways. It's crazy, and it's probably never going to be replicated, at least for our generation. Maybe for, you know, the younger generation, they get that with McAfee.
Yeah.
But I mean, even like Herb Street's kind of taken the role as like the number one college football guy, but he doesn't have that kind of like,
he's not a goofball.
Yeah, he doesn't have that like fun element.
Yeah, though. he's more straight edge, yeah. Straight man.
That straightforward, yeah.
Yeah. Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 975-925-713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. One last one, and we'll take some of your suggestions on the other side. Ryan Lawson, Texas, says O.J. Simpson was pretty good on the broadcast. Sir, he wasn't fun. He wasn't goofy, as several documentaries have highlighted. Ryan did make it clear that, yeah, until he killed his ex-wife and a waiter, allegedly. But the glove didn't fit. So, yeah, we're not going down that rabbit hole. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We just created the most niche Mount Rushmore on a Thursday. That is Houston Rockets Red Day henceforth, or at least for today in the city of Houston. Thanks, Mayor John Whitmire. Yeah, getting rid of the bike lanes. And on top of that, declaring today a holiday. Great. I know a lot of people are mad about the bike lane thing. Personally, I hate bikes. No offense. Like, I get it. Some people, you know, you got to go from point A to point B. This is a driving city. Like, you don't walk. You don't ride bikes. You just don't. Just got to accept it. Got to bite the bullet and get an outrageous car payment and pay a ton of money in car insurance because of all the uninsured motorists here who will hit and run your car with no care in the world because they don't want to get caught. But it's the Mount Rushmore of ex-player and coach broadcasters that we love because of how fun they are. Charles Barkley, John Madden, Lee Corso, Dick Vitale. Got a lot of nominations for great broadcasters, but generally it was like Al Michaels or Keith Jackson or some of the other ones that we got on the text line. These are all guys who did not coach, did not play. Chris Berman, who we brought up, but then we were like, oh, wait, but he didn't coach or play. Like, I think that's what puts Lee Corso in a different conversation. A lot of guys are just saying, like, the best broadcaster. We do appreciate it on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Jim Nance, Howard Cosell, amongst others. But that's what we were going for. And sorry, it was a very niche topic. We're creating the most niche
Mount Rushmore ever. It's and
like best broadcasters who didn't start broadcasting until after their first career was over.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's kind of funny. Brought up on the text line, Ryan Lawson, Texas said, or on the Twitch, Ryan Lawson, Texas said, hey, remember when Dennis Miller did Monday Night Football? I did, and I actually enjoyed it, but that is the kind of Mount Rushmore that he would make. It's the Mount Rushmore of ex-player slash coach sports broadcasters that you loved because they were fun. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Time for a very quick edition of the 10-minute drill.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
I am bewildered by whatever the hell is airing on BBC America that stars Angelina Jolie and Bunk from The Wire and the guy who creates Skynet in Terminator 2. I do not know what this is. I am lost. Anyway, I don't know what to do with the TV in studio because the remote is gone. All I know is it's on my TV and I'm distracted by all these random actors where I'm saying, hey, that guy, hey, that guy. People are probably listening right now, Paul, this is the worst radio ever, probably. So let's talk about the AFC South in the 10-minute drill. Cam Ward is probably going to be the first overall pick of the Tennessee Titans. We know this because of all the interviews that the Titans have done with Cam Ward. And on top of that, while streaming a playthrough session of Fortnite, Cam Ward was asked a lot of questions, and he gave very pro-Titans answers to the point where even though I cannot stand the Titans or their fans or their ownership, I think I like Cam Ward because this guy is loyal. Here's Cam Ward when he was asked about who the top wide receivers in the NFL are.
Okay, so you already said Ridley, Jamar, Justin.
I think Chase and Jamar is like the length, like the top.
And then for my last one, Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks?
And that ain't capping.
I mean, Treylon Burks, is he their fourth wide receiver? I like that he put Calvin Ridley in there as well. He did put Jamar Chase in,
yeah.
So it was
you just start with Calvin Ridley, too. He was like, okay, so Ridley, yeah. Who else?
And
oh,
he thought about
Chase. Yeah.
Jamar Chase. Took him a while to think about Treylon Burks, but he did have that at the very end, and I love it.
Is he just like, that's like what we would do, just trying to remember who's on the Titans and just be like, I think Burks is still on the Titans.
I'm not even sure he still is, to be perfectly honest. I don't think he's a lock to make the roster, for former first-round pick. And I know it. He's a former first-round pick, but I would imagine there's a chance he gets traded. He has been very disappointing. But Cam Ward loves him. That's one of his top receivers.
Yeah.
Ward was asked about the difference between A.J. Brown and Calvin Ridley, why he has Calvin Ridley over A.J. Brown, and here's what he had to say.
A.J. Brown's a dog, but he's not Calvin Ridley.
I love this guy. This is the kind of teammate that you want in your foxhole. Someone who is just completely ridiculous. I love it. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, I like that now. Because back in the day, the NFL, like, we'd know who the first round pick or the first overall pick is, like, months before the draft. Like, they would be negotiating a contract already.
Right.
In recent years, it feels like it's from the top down. The NFL's like, hey, guys, can you at least, like, pretend to not know who you're drafting, no matter, like, how ridiculous it is? I like that he, Cam Ward, got on Fortnite and's like, I'm just going to make it abundantly clear that I am going to the Titans. I am already on the Titans.
He wasn't done. Now he's asked about his favorite running backs in the NFL.
My top four running backs in the league right now, I would say.
Really thinking about it.
Tony Pollard, Spears.
Okay. He's trying to think of the other running backs. I'm not sure he even knows what Spears' first name is.
Yeah, there's a Spears on Tennessee.
I feel like Cam Ward probably at this point just pulled up a Titans roster.
He
and
had
was
to.
Just reading things straight off of it.
It really sounded like he was like, Tennessee Titans roster. Depth chart. All right. Let's see what ESPN.com's got.
I respect it.
It's already playing a video. Mute it.
Yeah, right. Seriously. All these websites have automatic pop-ups, automatic videos. I respect the hell out of this answer.
I really like it too.
I think it's funny. Yeah, it's funny. And also, like, hey, ingratiate yourself before you even get there. Titans need us all the help they can get. Bless their hearts.
Yeah. It also helped remind me who is on the Tennessee Titans.
I barely remember, you know.
Forgot about Spears.
Well, Jarius Sneed, but he's, like, in trouble with the law.
That happened.
Because, you know, the old... Oh, I hate it when I go to a car dealership and in my Lambo and I accidentally have somebody in the car shooting at people in there. Yeah. I hate it when that happens.
Also, my mom's in the car.
Was the mom the shooter? I'm just asking the question.
How many people were in this car? And how many of them have no reason to be shooting at a car dealership?
It's just a clown car. They're all piling
it's
out.
Legarius needs family reunions in that car. That's just...
It's not good. By the way, the Jaguars, as we continue to go around the AFC South and the 10-minute drill, did you see the Jags GM who's flexing? The Jaguars really are proud of themselves this offseason. First off, they said, the number 5 pick that we make is going to send a message about who we are going to be moving forward. Okay. Okay, Liam Cohen, Duvall, and James Gladstone. Okay. Gladstone also said, because they had no pre-draft visits, other mechanisms are more valuable to us. This guy, this pee pants, is going to be out of a job so quick. And I'd base it mostly off of just how young he looks. But like you're flexing about not visiting with players. And you're saying, like, yeah, we're using different means. I don't know, bro. I
think just calling it mechanisms is where you lose me. You know, like, just...
Yeah.
If he said there's other methods, like, okay, sure. Like,
right.
you're still kind of sniffing your own farts, but whatever. But going, like, there's other mechanisms, too. What? To talk to a 22-year-old?
Exactly.
Talk to a 22-year-old football player? Congrats, dude.
That's Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 975-925 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We are bringing back an old favorite segment to analyze what Texans GM Nick Caserio said at his press conference yesterday. The return of Robo Nick Caserio. We analyze everything he said at yesterday's press conference in a way that you can actually understand that doesn't take 8 hours. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. If you want to weigh in, 713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. You can also listen live on our app via Alexa. Nick Caserio is the general manager of the Houston Texans. At times, he sounds very robotic at his press conferences. This is why I have created a weird segment that we go to whenever he speaks called Robo Caserio, where we react to some of what Nick Caserio had to say, and we translate what's really going on inside of him. Because Nick Caserio, the man has not aged in 20 years. He is in great shape. And his robotic nature makes me wonder whether or not he is a robot or a man. It is time for another episode of Robo Caserio. Is he a man?
I'm not going to ask you about those mistakes. I'm just going to ask you.
Oh, you guys fucking talk about him all the time.
Or is he a machine?
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Whatever the case,
it will talk your ear off.
Quite frankly, it's bull.
And we're here to translate it when you space out.
Desire is irrelevant. I am a machine.
This is Robo Casario.
So I went through Nick Casario's press conference yesterday. In his opening statement and 21 answered questions, he said 6,656 words. 302.54 words a statement. So that means he's talking at least 2 minutes with just about every single one of these answers. If you were to have turned all the things that he said into a double-spaced paper for college, it would have been 27 pages.
Oh, my God.
When he talks, he talks. He's very good at filibustering. Another reason to believe he might be an actual robot and not a human being. But he is getting slightly more human-like by the year. I think he realizes that he doesn't seem to have much of a personality. I think being on the Texans flagship has helped him out a lot on that front.
So he's learning how to say hasta la vista, baby?
He's learning how to say, frankly, it's bull bleep.
Yeah.
Or he's learning how to say the F-bomb. I mean, he's doing what politicians are doing these days. All of a sudden, everyone's cussing. He's cussing, too. So in this press conference, I went through the whole thing. There were lots of questions about his process, which always feel kiss-assy. A lot of wordy questions. He was coy about trading up. He was coy about trading back. And he was asked 4 questions about offensive linemen and 2 questions about wide receivers and 1 about Tank Dell, who is making progress. What did Nick Casario say that I thought was very noteworthy? Well, here's Nick Casario being asked a very lengthy question about what the Texans might do at pick 25.
How comfortable are you guys right now at number 25? And where do you see this particular draft? Where do you see there's a drop-off in talent, maybe, per se?
Just in terms of what do you mean by being comfortable at 25?
Do you feel like there is uncertainty given that you're that far back? Or do you all feel like you all have like a good group of guys that you all would feel good at number 25 if it came down to that?
Yeah, no, we're always prepared to pick. And if we pick at 25, we're going to get a good football player. Yeah, I mean, we're going to get a good player if we pick at 25. So, and if we don't pick at 25, then wherever we pick next or whenever we do pick, we think we're going to get a pretty good player.
First off, to whoever asked that question, I've been there. I feel for you. You're asking something. The words just aren't quite coming out. I did cut out some of Nick Casario's answer there because I just wanted to play those 2 parts at the very end for effect. So that's what Nick Casario said. But what was happening underneath that skin? What was the exoskeleton, the T-1000 version of Nick Casario saying?
All the meat bags that I collect in the NFL draft are dogs, as you foolish humans so often say. Speaking of speaking, get to the point with that quote-unquote question.
Okay, it was a long question. A long question that was asked there by that guy. So Nick Casario, the robo version of him, says, I find dogs. I collect dogs.
Okay.
A little problematic that he's calling humans meat bags still. We figured it's 2025. He's going to stop calling humans by slurs.
We should probably get that in the next update patch. Just like, I mean, hey, last update, he's getting pretty snippy with the quote-unquote questions.
Right, exactly. But no talk about a robot revolution there. Here is Nick Casario later in the press conference being asked about the offensive line. I don't think he enjoyed this question. There were lots of offensive line-related questions.
Nick, you spoke about, you know, how the changes on the offensive line, they were case-by-case basis, but given the fact that you all had so many changes, do you feel like you have to leave this draft by at least touching on the offensive line at all?
Yeah, like we feel we got to add good football players to our football team. I mean, that's where we're focused on. So whatever those positions entail, then that's how it's going to work. So, I mean, that's how we approach it. That's how we're going to handle it. So we'll see how it all goes next week.
Don't you love how he just says, we're going to draft a player with that answer, and he doesn't even focus on the offensive line. I wouldn't either. I'd redirect as much as I can. You don't want to tip your hand at all. The Texans are expected, for what it's worth, to draft an offensive lineman with that first pick, if they still have that first pick. We heard from Daniel Jeremiah with Todd McShay and with Ryan Russillo on the Ryan Russillo podcast that the Texans are looking at two guys, Tyler Booker from Alabama, a guard, Kelvin Banks Jr., a tackle out of Texas. Anyway, what was Nick Caserio really thinking underneath his skin and inside the metal, cold heart about that question?
If only we could use actual Terminators on the offensive line, instead of a false start machine and a bust machine, an offensive line group of fashionistas instead of burly beasts. What a waste.
Okay, so it doesn't seem like he liked the offensive line group from last year. A bust machine, a false start machine. He'd rather have burly beasts. Again, watch the lingo. Watch the lingo.
Fashionistas.
And fashionistas, yeah. I mean, they are well-dressed.
They are. Larry they are. Consoles. And I am blown away by Skynet's added vocabulary for this, this year's Caserio.
He's assimilating, and no talk of a robot revolution there either.
No, we must be doing all right as a human race.
This is where Nick Caserio, now I'm no longer certain that he is a robot, because Nick was being fun in this press conference. He was asked a question by Big Sarge Sports, and he gave a sassy little answer.
Nick, you said you've made some mistakes in the past. I'm not going to ask you about those mistakes. I'm just going to ask
you guys talk about them all the time. So.
You had a little chuckle?
Earned chuckle, I think.
Yeah, it was.
That was a good one. And that one, I don't think we need robots to, or we don't need to feed it through the translator.
I think you're right.
That was crystal clear.
Crystal clear. He's becoming self-aware. So there you go, guys. That is Robo Caserio. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Keith has a thought on the NFL draft. It's 713-780-3776 to call to text. This ought to be fun. Keith.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Always have quality questions. You guys know that. I got an NFL draft question. NFL draft question. This is really bugging me. Didn't sleep last night. Where's Jalen Milroe going to be drafted? You know, coming off a pretty mediocre season in Alabama. You know, Saban, the new coach, DeBoer. You know, Bama wasn't great. Where's Milroe going?
Ooh, I got a good one. I got a good one for you, Keith. And this is somewhat jokingly said, but the Giants have a type at quarterback. And you might think, oh, all of a sudden they're thinking about Shedeur Sanders. No, the Giants like guys who can run and can't throw. And Daniel Jones is exactly that. The Giants are going to take Jalen Milroe. They're going to draft some very boring pick in the first round, second round, Jalen Milroe. Heard it here first. If that happens, I will laugh so hard.
Or they might trade back into the first, because he's going to be at the draft on Thursday. Like, he's going to be in the green room in Green Bay.
He thinks he's going early.
Or at least in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way he goes. Or, actually, I shouldn't say there's no way he goes
unless
early.
He's a big fan of some of the fine sights of Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's like, how many times in my life am I going to be able to go to Green Bay? All expenses paid.
I mean, yeah, you get to see Lambeau Field. You get to see all sorts of things. You know? Like the Bay Beach Amusement Park. The Green Bay Botanical Garden. The old National Railroad Museum, that's in Green Bay.
Oh, that's fun.
The Bay Beach Wildlife Sanctuary, a lot of Bay Beach.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would call. Well, maybe there is a beach.
Probably snow on it. I don't think that you can see the beach, given that it's April in Wisconsin. There's Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. You know, oh, who could forget about the Children's Museum of Green Bay or the Resch Center. You know, there's a lot of things to do in Green Bay. There's Segway the Fox tours. You could take a Segway tour. You know, there's St. Brendan's Inn. There's, yeah, it's
wasn't there like improv group that was on here? One
there
time?
Was. They might have gone out of business because there's like not many people that live in Green Bay. So there you go, guys. There you go. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.